Father, we worship you tonight. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor. Because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are enthroned on high and you rule and reign this entire universe and you rule and reign in our lives. And tonight, we give you first place. We give your word first place. And as we give your word first place, we thank you that you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, tonight that revelation flows. I thank you that as I yield myself to your spirit, that revelation flows from my spirit to my understanding. I thank you that my understanding is sharp because I have the mind of Christ. And because I have the mind of Christ, I articulate accurately what you have for us tonight. Thank you, Lord, as I speak it, the word creates. And I thank you, Lord, that it creates our future. And I thank you, it creates life in each ear and in each heart that hears what I have to say. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we took our couple of weeks break with the School of Wisdom, we had started on a series of the secrets of prayer, and we closed off the last time on the ways that God speaks to us, and we have not completed that yet. Hopefully tonight we will complete that. And we saw that the different ways that God speaks to us, and one of the ways was dreams, another way was through trance, open vision, or through our imagination. We saw that God speaks to us through dark speech. And all of this is on the previous, the CDs of the previous sessions, and you can get those. God speaks through to us through direct speech. And God speaks to us through an audible voice. But we saw that the most important way that God speaks to us is through the inner witness. And I'll touch again on some of that tonight. And then we'll discuss how we can develop that and walk by the inner witness, because that's the most important thing. Most Christians don't know how to hear God. It's very important, especially in the times that we live in now. Other ways that God speaks to us, and we saw that he spoke through the donkey, Numbers 22 verse 27 to 28. He spoke through thunder, 1 Samuel 7 verse 10. He spoke through the burning bush in Exodus 3 verse 4. And there are a number of those kind of ways that God spoke, and we did discuss them before. The most important way that God speaks to us is through the inner witness. The inner witness where? In your spirit. And we need to learn, and I use the term, we need to become God inside minded. Because Christ died to come and live inside you. So he's within you. We tend to listen to God out there somewhere. And does he speak that way? Yes, he does. But it's because we're not listening on the inside. So sometimes God orchestrates our circumstances, or he'll speak to somebody and he'll send somebody to us and say, God is telling you this, so that we can catch a wake up. But the most effective way for us to hear is on the inside. That's where God dwells. He wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. And we discussed it before, that when we know our Father, when we know as his sons and daughters, when we know his heart, we will do according to his heart. So we need to get to know him. The inner witness is the most important way for Christians to be led. And we went through those scriptures. Your born-again spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, should have the place of dictatorship or domination over your entire being. Spirit-led. You should be spirit-dominated, not mind-dominated. Your mind must be sharp. Your mind must be renewed with the Word of God, but you must be spirit-dominated. Your spirit is recreated in Christ Jesus to rule over your soul and your body, or your flesh. As you learn by experience to walk in the Spirit, remember that God's Word comes to us in two ways. The written word and the Holy Spirit speaking in our spirit. Because it doesn't say in the written word, if you're looking for a new job, go and work at ABC shoe store. It doesn't say that in the Bible. So you need to know how to hear the Spirit of God speak in your spirit, so that when you hear him, he can accurately say to you, go and work at ABC shoe store. Amen. Or whatever particular thing it is that he wants you to do. We begin with the assurance that God's written word is our sure word. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the written word of God. So, a married man will not have a word from the Lord that another man's wife is going to be his wife. Because it's contrary to the word of God. I don't care how good it feels. I don't care how much it witnesses inside your loins. I mean your heart. It's not the word of God. If you receive a prompting that is in opposition to the written word, you will know it is not from the Holy Spirit. We simply ask, we should just ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to follow Him. And you will receive, because that is His will. He says when we ask according to His will, we will receive. Ask Him. Ask Him to show in His word. Give Him control of your life. And then it's interesting that you read that confession tonight. Give Him control of your life, and He will reveal to you step by step the will of God. He knows how to bring you to maturity. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. The good work that He has started in you, He will complete, and He is busy completing it. All He requires of you is your attention and obedience. God has started a good work in you. Doesn't matter what your life looks like at times. Doesn't matter what circumstances look like at times. He has started a good work in you, and He is busy completing it. We need to be obedient to Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. That says we need to renew our minds. We need to give ourselves over as a living sacrifice so that we can discern the will of God. Let's just go there quickly. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Paul, he says, or Paul. Well, we have in the Old Testament, we have Mo and Zippy. Or Moses and Zipporah. Or we have Abe and Sarki. Or Abraham and Sarah. Malachi. It's just before the New Testament. I appeal to you therefore, brethren and sisteren, and I beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties, and I'm reading from the Amplified, so if it's not exactly the same as yours, then get saved and get a proper Bible. As a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. You see, it's just a reasonable, simple thing to give yourself over to God. For us, it's the most scary thing because we think, no, we can't do anything anymore. That's a place of freedom when you give yourself totally to God. Then he says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, or this way of thinking, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Does it say there, discern the will of God through your much praying? Does it say, discern the will of God through your praise and worship? Does it say there, discern the will of God through lots of praying in tongues? All of those things will help you towards discerning the will of God. But what it says there is in renew your mind with the word of God so you can find out what the will of God is. That's how. To me, it's almost a scary thing. What we're seeing lately in the body of Christ. What we see in churches. What we see church leaders that cannot hear the word of God. And then they will preach and they say, well, the Lord spoke to me. And I mean, I sit there and I can hear that God did not speak that stuff. And then you hear what their congregation speaks. Say, no, this is what God is saying. And I say, show it to me in the word. No, but you know that God spoke to me. I know God's voice. I said, show it to me in the Bible. No, but you don't understand. I know God's voice. I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I said, show that to me in the Bible. And they can't. And then you look at their lives. You look at the stuff that they get themselves into. No, but God told me. So now I'm suffering for Jesus. I'm being persecuted. You see when the stuff goes wrong. But it wasn't God in the first place. But now they're suffering for Jesus because they're obedient to Him. And they just go from worse to worse, thinking it's God. And it's not. You find the will of God by renewing your mind with the Word of God. So you get to know the Word of God. And who is the Word of God? Jesus. That's how you get to know Him. Through His Word. And then you get to know the spirit of the Word, the attitude of the Word. That you know the living Word will not do certain things. He will not allow certain things. And so you start living according to that. That's how you discern God's will. In Colossians 3 verse 15 we read, "And let the peace of God," the harmony, the peace in your soul, from Christ's rule within your heart, "act as umpire." We all know what an umpire is, and we spoke about it. We know about the cricket umpire, you know, and he points his finger. Says, okay, 3 runs or no runs or whatever, you know, the whole thing, the hand signals, you know. It's like a guy that waves in an aeroplane, you know. Anyway, cricket is still a mystery to me after all this time. My mind has not been renewed to that game. But anyway, act as an umpire. It's the man who makes the decisions. We see that with those, when they used to play rugby in South Africa, there is what we call a referee. And if something happened, then he would blow the whistle and he would decide what's right and wrong and what's the next step to be taken. The peace of God must act as an umpire inside you. So in other words, when you think and you're going to say, okay, Lord, must I do this thing? Then you listen on the inside. Is there peace when I think about that? Is there peace when I focus on this spirit man of mine? If there's peace, then you know that's what God says to you to do. And then when you believe it's God, you go that direction. It doesn't matter what happens. If there's adversity that then comes, you know that you have peace in your heart, and then you go that direction and you stand on the Word of God. We're assuming that the thing that you're following after is in line with God's Word and with His purposes. And he says here, and this is the Amplified again, he says, "Let the peace of God be an umpire, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind." You see, we have, well, is this the Word of God? Is this the will of God? Should I be doing this? Shouldn't I be doing it? No, you go according to the peace. You see, because inside, in this cranial cavity between your 2 ears, you have, you know, those scales. And it's, well, is this the Word of God? Is this the will of God? Well, should I? Well, maybe it's not the will. And we double-minded. Let the peace of God settle and once and for all in your spirit. Follow the peace. Follow the peace. Don't let fear rule. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. You see? So when you follow that peace and you go in the direction that you believe God is telling you, then what you do is you worship God and you praise Him and thank Him and you go and you walk that thing through. Doesn't matter what happens. Let peace be your umpire. Check your heart for peace. If you sense agitation in your spirit about something, do not do anything until that agitation stops. Because you need to know, is that the Spirit of God stopping me? Or is it my own fears? Is it my own prejudices? What is it? Is it me? You've got to discern between yourself and your own thoughts and your own feelings and what the Spirit is giving you. You can be agitated in yourself if you can recognize that. But if you recognize the peace of God, then you follow the peace of God and you ignore your own feelings. If you sense agitation, do not do anything until that changes. Wait to take action until you have peace in your spirit. Most mistakes with Christians is because they just run. Because the pressure's on. I've got to do this thing. I've got to do this. I've got to get this. I've got to get done. I've got to wait until the peace comes. And continue to inquire of the Lord until you know. The peace cannot rule in our lives because of the next point. In Proverbs 16 verse 3, it says here, "Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him." Commit and trust them wholly to them. Not some of your cares. Commit all of your cares. That's the thing that I had to learn when I became a Christian. I could not understand that people, you know, well, I just cast my cares on the Lord and then I wait and then I get peace and then I do the thing. That was my area of battle. It took me a number of years to break through that thing. I would cast my cares on the Lord every 5 seconds, literally. Because that thing would pop up back in my mind. Financial trouble, this trouble, job trouble, so and so. Just come back in my mind. Come back in my mind. And I would say, I cast you down and I give you to God. Cast you down and I give you to God. To the point where I wrote it. Remember we used to, we would write it on a beach ball. We write our cares on the beach ball. And then we would kick it down the passage. I'm serious. We had to do something to get this thing out of the way. And it got to the point then, every second day we would get hold of the beach ball. Because then I thought, what now? Go fetch the beach ball. And it says, yeah, Lord, we apologize. We repent. We confess our sin. We have taken the care of this thing back. We've taken it from you, so you can't do anything about it. So now we give it to you again. And we boot that ball down the passage. Remember on plot 191, I think we had. Yeah, eventually the ball. We kicked that thing so many times that it didn't work anymore. But you've got to get to that place where you can get to a point where you sit before the Lord, where you just sit, or wherever you are, at work or whatever, and you can relax. And you say, Lord, I just release this to you. And you become aware of His peace and His presence. You've got to get to that place. Otherwise, you will never get anywhere. You'll never get anywhere with God. I'm telling you that now. You cannot sit there and worry and then say, Lord, be the umpire. Let your peace be the umpire. In the meantime, it's this peanut on top of your shoulders that is agitating your spirit and your emotions. And you go, where's the peace? Where's the peace? Meantime, you holding on. Say, Lord, what's plan B again? What was plan C about? How was I going to handle this? You got to get rid of it. You either trust God or you don't. We don't try this Christian thing. We don't try this walk by faith thing. You don't try this. You do this. There are not many people that want to do this. Once they find out what God expects from them, then they just live mediocre lives. They're the ones that fill the counseling rooms at the churches. That's true. And I'm not referring to some people here. No, I believe there's definite progress here. This is not rubbing salt on your ears and say, oh, shame, shame, shame. Because we don't do shame, shame, shame. We say, get on with it. That's what we do. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. Then it says, He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. But you first got to do the casting. Then you've got to renew your mind with the Word of God. If your mind is renewed with the Word of God, then the thoughts will come that are agreeable according to His will. But you've got to wait. It takes a long time before it starts being a natural progression, because we've been brought up to be led by circumstances. And stuff like that. And, look at that. Okay, now what are we going to do? We have not been trained from small to just relax and wait on God. We have not been trained. So you've got to unlearn that. And it takes a long time. For some of us, it takes a long time. Most of you are relatively younger. Learn this thing early in your life. Cast your cares over onto the Lord. He says, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to Him, right? Then He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. And then it says, so shall your plans be established and succeed. Notice that that little sentence is the end of that verse. Did I say the verse? Proverbs 16 verse 3. Cast your cares on the Lord, commit them and trust Him completely to Him. Then He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. Then your plans will be established and succeed. What we want is we want the plans to be established and succeed, and then I'll get peace and now I can relax in the peace of God. It's not going to work like that. This is a faith walk. Roll your works upon the Lord and expect your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. And if the thoughts come that are not in line with the will of God, then point your finger like I've done many times shut up in the name of Jesus. You stick a finger on your forehead and you say, shut up in the name of Jesus. And then you quote that scripture that says, think upon those things which are good and lovely and of a good report, pure, wholesome. And that is a person. And his name is Jesus. And that's what I tell my mind. I say, think on him. Think on him, mind. Think on him who is good and pure and lovely and wholesome, righteous and just, full of compassion and mercy. Think upon him. Do you get that? Not. In the name of Jesus, mind, think upon him who is good and pure and lovely and holy and of a good report, righteous and just. Do you get that yet? You do it, and you do it, and you do it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if that mind of yours shouts at you, you're a nutter. And you tell him, shut up, I am not a nutter. I may be a fool for Christ, but I'm not a nutter. You understand? This is what we do. This is how we overcome. This is how we walk this thing through. People think God's going to do it for you. Christians think God's going to do it. He's done it. He's given you Jesus. He's given you the Spirit. He's given you the anointing. He's given you the Word. Now it's up to you. You renew your mind. You speak your future. You pray. You do whatever. That is how you change it. And sometimes there's a lot of demolishing that has to happen. Because with our mouths and with what everybody's spoken, the way we've gone, we've created something which is based on wood, and it's built from wood, hay, and stubble, and it's not built from gold and silver and precious stones. And God's got to come with a fire, and we got to, it's a scary thing, and we say, Lord, here I am. Romans 12, I give myself to you. Lord, and send the fire. Burn that which is not of you. And then all of a sudden, our lives fall apart. Because none of it was actually built on the foundation of Christ. But you've got to get to a point where you start rebuilding, where there's a renovation that takes place. The sooner you start, the better. Fortunately for you, if you're associating with us, it's already happening with you. Because my prayer is simple. Lord, what you've done for me, just do for the people who submit to us. So there it is. You've got no choice. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. But there's something we have to do. Okay? As you've heard now. Expect him to energize in you the power and desire to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Expect him to energize in you the power and desire to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Where is that written? Glad you asked. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Not in your own strength, but it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. What does the Bible say? He's all the while. That's what the Amplified says. He's all the while. What does it mean in South African English? All the time. Effectually at work. What does that effectually mean? It means he's successfully working in you. I mean, there's a promise for you. When things look tough in your life, when you don't seem to be walking in the Spirit, this verse says, it is God who is all the time successfully busy working in you. And then it says, energizing and creating in you the power and desire. It's a good scripture for Skulk. Energizing and creating in you the power and desire. Now, do you think that'll be a godly power and a godly desire? That's what Skulk said to me. That's what he wants. There it is, bro. There's your scripture. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to do and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction.
To desire, that's
Yes. There. It's a whole sermon. There's a whole lesson in there. How powerful is that? So we don't have to doubt that God is not working in us, David. He's working in us. He's with us. And it's a good work. And He's all the time doing it. Energizing and creating in you the power and desire. For what? For Him. And to do good works. There it is. To work for His good pleasure. You say to me, I want to do His will. Well, there it is. Just stand on that verse. And you will do His good pleasure. And His satisfaction. And His delight. How many of us want to satisfy Him and be a delight to Him? All of us here. All right, there's your scripture. Meditate on that thing. You will walk in the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 5. That's a powerful scripture, people. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. And we're still talking about casting your works onto the Lord, casting your cares onto the Lord. Whatever troubles you, whatever is holding you back from entering into that peace. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you. Who must humble? Us. It's a bad place if God has to humble you. It's not a good place if God comes to humble you. Rather change the attitude of your heart and humble yourself before Him. Then He says in verse 7, casting the whole of your care, all of your care, all whatever is bothering you, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. That's what the Amplified says. Once and for all. Now, that's the thing that I couldn't get. That's why every 5 seconds, I'm telling you. It was like literally, I had to cast that thing down every 5 seconds. Lord, here I'm giving it. Sorry, Lord, I've taken it back. I'm giving it. I mean, I was busy with that just about all the time. But I persevered until I didn't have to do that anymore. Do I have cares and stuff? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes make a mistake? Yes. Do I sometimes take the care back? Yes. And my family will immediately know if I've taken a care. Because I'm completely not me. Because normally I'm pretty steady. And all of a sudden, Jan is out of sorts. He's like a cat that swallowed a hairball. You ever seen a cat that swallowed a hairball? It reverses and it's trying to reverse so that the hairball moves forward. I'm kind of like that then. And then they know. Jan's in somewhere where he's not supposed to be. Because I've learned. You keep the cares with God to the point where I forget about them. Because if I've given it to Him, then He's got it. Why must I worry about it? It's when I take it back, then I'm in the flesh. And it's not a nice place. Jan is not nice when that happens. He knows. Cast the whole of your care once and for all on Him. Now listen. Because He cares for you affectionately. And He cares about you watchfully. How's that? 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. How's that? But you've got to do the casting and the rolling on Him first before you enjoy the affection and Him watching you carefully. You see, we want the affectionately and, Lord, are You with me and You seeing me? And He says, but You can't hear nothing anyway because you're so worried about that thing. Give it to Me. How do you give a thing to God? You find the promises in the Bible and you stand on them and you say, I cast the care over onto You, and Your word says about that situation, this is what you are going to do. And then you get the peace in your heart and that is what you walk. Does it take some work? Yes. Does it take sometimes you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do? Yes, you've heard me say this. I used to get up at 4 in the morning. I used to walk outside in winter. I don't know how I did it. I used to go out the house, into the garage, onto the cement floor and lie on my face before God. I had layers of clothing on, but it didn't help. But I was so desperate for God. And the power of God would come on me. And I would lie there shaking and trembling under the power of God. And it wasn't the cold. I know that. I had to press in. I had to. What the generals of God that have gone before us, what the Peters of this world, and Paul, and Smith Wigglesworth, and Kenneth Copeland, and whoever else, John G. Lake, all these men, I wanted that. I want to walk in that power. So I must pay the price. We are at a time, people, we cannot turn around. We can't go back anymore. I don't believe there's anyone in this room that can go back. We have to do what God says. And we're still talking about the inner witness. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. You see, there it comes again. It's the understanding. Your battleground is between your ears. It's not the demons and stuff out there. If you're in Christ, those things, they might try and drop a thought into your head and stuff, but you've got control over your mind. You control what comes into your mind. So if a thought comes into your mind, just like a bird that flies over you, I mean, there are lots of birds. I mean, we're out in our garden sometimes, and there are birds that fly overhead. Do we have control over that? No, we don't. But do we have control if one of those birds want to come and sit on my head? Yes. I can chase it away. All right? Thoughts are the same. You have control over those thoughts. And you need to bring them into obedience to the Word of God. They try and exalt themselves above the Word of God. They try and make themselves Lord over your life. And you say, no, you're not Lord. The Word of God is Lord. That's why you renew your mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Whatever you do. I mean, even when Annika and I go shopping, I push the trolley around. She'll say, do you think we should buy this? Most of the time I say, Annika, do you have the money for that? Do you want to bless us? What do you want to do with it? No, I just thought I'd bless the family with it. I say, that's a godly motive. Buy it. If you have the money, buy it, then bless us with it. Then there's peace. But we have agreement. But sometimes I say, no, it just doesn't feel right. And guess what? We walk down aisle and down another aisle, and then we get, and then there's a similar product at half the price at better quality. So the Lord leads us in simple stuff like that. I remember when we got married, my wife didn't understand how to cook for a South African. Because she come from Holland. So, she would ask God, what must I feed him? She did, yes. And God taught her about me. God taught her how to please me. You see, I just automatically knew how to please her, but she had to learn. No. No. In the same way, I had to learn how to please her. Because we said, this is a marriage from God. This is a marriage made in heaven. So we're going to please one another according to what the Word says. So that's what we do. Have we failed sometimes? Yes. But He says He will direct our paths. Then He says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So in other words, what He's saying, if you're wise in your own eyes, you're in an area of evil. Because the Scripture, Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Be not wise in your own eyes. Let's look at Proverbs 8 verse 13. You want to learn to be led by the inner witness. You must learn how to cast your cares over onto the Lord. Proverbs 8 verse 13 says the following. Okay, there is no Proverbs 8 verse 13. Oh, sorry. I'm just coming to the right Proverbs. Okay. Okay. Proverbs 8:13. The reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil. You see, that verse says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we need to hate evil. Do we need to have mercy on ourselves and on those around us when there's sin in our lives? Yes. Mercy and compassion. The love of God, the perfect love of God, casts out fear. And the love of God covers a multitude of sins. The reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and perverted and twisted speech I hate, says the Lord. You see, be not wise in your own eyes. That's pride. Yeah, geez, I can do this. I don't need... You're committing evil. You're not casting the care on the Lord. You're not committing it to Him and waiting for Him to speak. There are many decisions that we've had to make, and my family comes to me and says, okay, we need to spend a certain amount of money. And then I say, okay, I'll let you know. But Jan, this is very urgent. We need to, I said, if God does not speak to me, we are not doing this. I don't care how urgent this is. But you don't understand, Jan, this has got to happen. Like I said, I have no witness. And then we wait. And you know what? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months down the line, and then we still haven't spent the money, and the issue hasn't actually deteriorated or changed or whatever. Which means, if we had done the thing, we may have just spent money on something which wouldn't have used. But we're so chicken to go with that inner witness. You know why? Because we've trained it, we've deceived it. You know what it says in James? Let me tell you something about James and what he says there. And remember, we started off tonight, we were discussing, before we started the meeting, we spoke about the words of our mouth. James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart. Do you see what it's saying there? If you don't bridle your tongue, if you don't speak in line with the word of God, you deceive your own heart. If you deceive your own heart, how can you be led by the Spirit? That's why people say to me, no, but I had a witness in my heart. And they didn't even bother to check that witness against the word of God. But then I see the result. I see, or I hear what they say. And I say, but that is not the word of God. My spirit tells me straight away, that's not God. But they have spoken so much rubbish in their lives that they've deceived their own heart. And guess what? They are led into deception because of themselves. It says there then, once you've done that, your religious service is worthless. And the Amplified has, in brackets behind worthless, barren. Which means no fruit. So why is your life not producing fruit? Because you have deceived your own heart. And your heart is the garden of God. So you plant word seeds into your own heart. And guess what you get? You don't even get maroch, which you can at least eat. You get kaki balls. and thistles and woolly boller. What is it?
Those are nice.
No, not those terrible stuff. It stinks. Stink woolly boomer. Because we deceive our own hearts. All of this points to the fact that we need to become sensitive to the voice of God. Our spirit needs to become sensitive to God's voice. Now, we've discussed a whole lot of things. I think we understand the importance that we need to be led by the inner witness. Prophecy is good. Prophecy confirms stuff. But you know, if a prophet or somebody has to keep on giving you a word to do something, then there's a problem. You are not listening to God. How do we become sensitive to God's voice? We become sensitive to the Holy Spirit by training our spirit being, by training our inner man, by training it. Can your spirit be trained? Yes, it can be trained. If we don't train our spirit man, our intellect, our brain will take over and it will suppress our spirit man so that our spirit cannot lead and cannot guide us and we will not be able to function properly in the kingdom of God. Now, a good example is when in Russia before the Iron Curtain came down, and I believe it happened also in China up until recently, and probably still happens there. Christians were persecuted, and what happened in Russia? The KGB would not dress their uniforms; they would dress up normally, and then they would go into these services where the Christians would get together, and they would write their names down, and then they would betray them that way, and then they would get shot and killed and imprisoned and so forth. So then the Christians prayed, the leaders prayed and said, okay, God, what do we do? And the Lord said, don't tell anybody where the meetings are going to be held. If they're truly a Christian, if they're truly in the kingdom of God, they will have the Spirit within them. If they have the Spirit within them, they will be able to hear where I've ordained the next meeting to be. And so guess what? So they go to the next meeting place and certain people are not there. So they knew, oh, those are the traitors. Interesting. God just said to the leader, okay, have a meeting there and go there. And the people had to find out. Nobody said nothing to no one. I'm telling you, that is seriously listening to God. That's what I'm saying. We need to train our spirit man so we can hear God, so we can properly function in the kingdom of God. But if you can do that in your business, whatever it is you do, I've used the example before of Joe van der Berg from Hatfield. He's a prophet. He's a resident prophet there. And he used to walk to work before he was full-time in the ministry. He used to walk to work from the Pretoria West side. He used to walk down Church Street towards the church square. He used to walk down Church Street past the Air Force headquarters. And you all remember that there was a bomb that was placed in front of that building. And the day that happened, that morning that happened, Joe van den Berg was walking, and just as he came to that block where the Air Force headquarters is, God said to him, turn left here and go behind that building. So he says, okay, Lord. So he goes behind the building. As he is behind the building, the bomb exploded. He would have been right there, and people were blown to pieces that they couldn't find the people. It was a massive bomb. Do you think he heard? He's today a prophet that is recognized all over the world, and he has a ministry with a wife and children and so forth. If he did not listen to God, we would not be able to enjoy his ministry. And many people would not be able to function in the body of Christ because he would not be there. We need to train our spirit to hear God. How do we do that? We've got to become God inside minded. Is God in heaven on his throne? Yes. Is God everywhere around us? Yes, the Bible tells us that. But where else is he? He lives inside of us. We are his temple. And you've got to become God inside minded. You've got to become aware of the presence of God. You've got to be aware of him living here inside you. The seat of your spirit is here behind your navel. To put it bluntly, so you know, this is where God is. This is where the seat of your spirit is. This is where you hear God. Not up here in this cranial cavity between your ears. Here, by your belly. The Bible talks many times, the bowels of compassion. Why is it the bowels of compassion? Because it's from here. This bowel area, that is where you are led from your spirit. Become aware that God lives there and not up here. God is not a brain, as I said before. God is a spirit. He's not a mind. He's not a vapor. Although he does manifest sometimes as vapor, as smoke. But he's not a vapor. He's a person. He's a spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a blessing or an experience. He is a person. He lives in you. And this is where you listen to him. This is where you become aware of him. On the inside of you. Jesus paid a terrible price to get the Spirit of God, to get himself to live inside you again. He did all of that to get inside of us, to make us his temple, to make us his church. So let's start training ourselves to listen inside. You start doing that, your emotions can go nuts around you. People can go nuts. All you do is just listen to the Lord. What are you saying, Lord? I'm listening. And you'll hear him. You'll hear the still small voice. And the peace will come on you. It's not just a blessing experience. As wonderful as it is to be in his presence and to sense his presence and for him to touch us and physical manifestations, as wonderful as that is, he's not just a blessing or an experience. He is a person. He is here with a purpose. He is here to lead you into the kingdom of God. He is here to make you manifest the kingdom of God. He is here to make your life count and to make a difference in this world. That is why he's here. What's happened in the church is this, woo, woo, so lovely and so wonderful. And I say there's a place and a time for that. But now, at least for the people that are sitting here, the Holy Spirit is here to help us to work effectively. The Holy Spirit is not it. Many times I hear people talk about it. He's the third person of the Godhead. How can I prove that to you? Glad you asked. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has on... Listen to that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he... A force or a vapor is not a he. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He lives in you. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. And Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. But they just said he's seated in heaven. Verse 90, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Then it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Not a vapor. A person. And confirming the word with signs following. Amen. John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. God is a person. He lives within you. Become God inside-minded. He's not just a blessing or experience. He's a person. He labors with us. Amen. Realize that the greater one dwells in you. Realize that. There's nothing that can present itself before you that can defeat you. When you start to realize who God is, that you are more than a conqueror. Romans 8 verse 37. We are more than conquerors. So, why? Because of our abilities? No. Because the one who conquered the devil, who conquered sin, he lives within you. Romans 8:37 says, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Victory is inevitable. Whatever the situation, whatever circumstance it is, listen to the word of God. Listen to the voice of God. Get the peace of God from him. He tells you to go a certain direction. You will walk in victory because you are more than a conqueror because he has conquered. You don't have to go and conquer the devil. He's already conquered. If he thought you could conquer the devil, he would have sent you to the cross. But he did it because he's the perfect sinless man, and so he went and did it. And so what we have to do, Lindy, is walk in his victory. He's made the way. Just we got to walk. If I say to you today that every month I'm going to put 20 million rand into your bank account, every month. I know you'll do backflips if it was true. But if you knew that every month that would be in there, would you worry ever again about money? No, you wouldn't. Because every month, 20 million there, 20 million there, 20 million there, 20 million there. And all I will expect and say, okay, I expect you to use that money. But you know what? He's given us more than money. He's paved the way. Our heavenly bank account has everything in it that we require for life and peace and victory in this earth. But we tap into that by listening to him, by hearing him. We must learn to recognize that he is always and forever there. You see, we're talking about how do we become sensitive to God's voice. And I'm speaking to you about we need to become God inside-minded. How do you become God inside-minded? Knowing that he's always inside you. Is he not going to leave the one day and the next day back and all that? Does it sometimes feel to us as if he's not there? Yes. But do we walk by feelings? No. Decide once and for all to believe the word of God. Recognize that he is always and forever there. John 14, verse 16. If you know he's never going to leave you, and I always say this when there's a prayer meeting or something, or we have got a prayer school, and then I ask somebody in the congregation, say, please close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for the meeting. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us through Brother Young. And I ask, Father, that you please go with us. Wherever we go, we ask that you protect us. We ask this and we ask that. And I stop them right there and they get offended. I say, that is not a prayer of faith. You are praying in unbelief. Why? Because the Word of God says that he will never leave us or forsake us. In fact, he lives with us. If we have to ask God to come now with us, where has he been in the meeting? Then he wasn't even in the meeting, because if we close in the meeting, then we say, please God, come with us. So where's he been, David? But you see, we are bound by our mouths. He either lives in you or he doesn't. He's either with you. I mean, I don't have to say, Lord, please go with me. When I walk out there, he's with me. I don't have to go and, oh God, now I need you. Lord, you better arrive on the scene now. He's with me. John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. He's also known as the counselor. He's also known as the helper. He's also known as the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and standby. That's the Holy Spirit. So nobody can come to me and say, no, I'm feeling so terrible and lonely. I say, but I thought you had the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and standby. He lives in you. In fact, I can see him looking at me through your eyes. Shouldn't you be listening to him? And then listen to that last part of that verse. That he may remain with you forever. So don't come to me, no, I'm so lonely today. God's not with me today. He lives in you, man. That peanut on top of your shoulders, that's the problem. That's what's got to be convinced. You've got to realize in that you drum the word into it. You brainwash yourself with the word. You take these CDs, because this is all recorded, you take it and you listen to it. Do what I've done. I've listened to some CDs thousands of times. I have a permanent CD player in my room and it runs 24 hours a day. That message that's running there has been running how many years now? Probably 7 years. Okay, don't play it all the time, but we play probably pray for three or four months at a time. We take it off, put another one in there for 3 or 4 months, and then we put that one back again. That particular message that's in our bedroom right now. And it has to do with what? The renewing the mind. Over and over. I wake up in the middle of the night, and it talks about pulling down the strongholds, and talking about that, and everything. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And if you go there now, you will hear it playing softly. It's playing all the time. I want to think God's thoughts. He says that I can. He says I have the mind of Christ, so I've got to line up this thing. So he says that he's with us forever. You know what? Let's just read the next verse, verse 17 as well. And then he says who he's talking about. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So, you're in God's kingdom. So, you have received him, right? Because the world can't receive him because it does not see him, nor do they know him or recognize him. But you, all of you here, and me, know and recognize him. For he not only lives with you constantly, as the Amplified says, constantly he's the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. We just got to listen. For he lives with you constantly, and he will be in you. You don't have to ask God to go with you. God goes where you go. And if he doesn't want you to go somewhere, then he will tell you, I don't want to go there. But he's enjoying the ride, man. He wants to. He paid a price. He's waited all that time to get inside of us. Now we're all sitting and waiting. Oh Lord, endue us with power from on high. Oh Lord, send revival. Oh Lord, do this. Oh Lord, do that. You know those cartoons where they draw the mouth, you know, sort of indifferent. When are these people going to ever get it? He's given it to you. He's given Christ all the power. I mean, we pray. We've got these meetings where, Lord, send us more power. Where's God going to get the power from? Because he's given it all to you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you have all power, skull. Where's he going to get it? Because if he can get more power, then he's not God. What we can do and what we need to trust God is to hear what he wants us to do so that we can walk in more of the fullness of the power that we have. Because you have it all. We need to trust him. Lord, I need to be yielded to you more. Romans 12 verse 1. A living sacrifice so he can just manifest his glory through you. That's verse 17 for you. And then verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. Need I say more? What is the evidence that he is with you? What is the evidence that he is with you? Romans 8:16. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. What is the evidence that he is with you? The Spirit Himself testifies or witnesses together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. Remember, there was a time that you knew inside here that you were not a child of God. But now that you've grown up in the Lord, and you are growing up in the Lord, you have this knowing on the inside because the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God, that you are a son of God. That's how you know that He's with you and that He's in you. That is how you know it. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Now remember, we're talking about becoming God inside minded. Hebrews 13 verse 5. This is how you become God inside minded. You renew your mind to these verses. Take these verses, write them down on a card or something. Stick it in your pocket. And wherever you go, you pull it out and you speak it out loud to yourself. Read it onto a cassette. I did that too. I read my own voice onto a cassette and I would play and listen to me saying that I, Jan van Rooyen, have the Spirit of God living in me because I needed, it was my head that needed to understand that. Hebrews 13:5. Okay, he starts off there talking about certain sins and so on, so I'll read from the beginning. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money. And then he says, be satisfied with your present circumstances and with the things that you have. For he, God, himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support. Then he says, I will not, I will not, I will not. He says it three times. In any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. You think God is serious about not leaving you? So next time somebody sits in church or you visit somewhere and somebody says, please, Lord, go with us. I dare you. Jump up and say, brother, don't pray that. Sister, don't pray that. They might help you out the church, but at least you're the establishing witness there and you're establishing the witness for God. Please. That's why the churches are so powerless. They're praying rubbish. They're trusting God for rubbish. Their faith. We were talking last night. Remember, we were talking about hope. It's not even hope, Lindy. Because it's not even based on this. It's not even based on the truth. It's another hope. It's a hope on what they think should be. I can't remember who it is. Somebody I heard one day. I said, why do you pray like that? No, because I heard somebody else pray. And he was a man of God. And it sounded so good when he would stand up with his deep voice. And, oh, Heavenly Father, when we go from here tonight, I thank you. That when I ask you to come with us, you will be with us. And it just sounded so pious and religious and sounded so good. But it was not the word of God. So what that person did, they prayed what this man of God prayed. And they couldn't understand why nothing was going well for them because we're not praying the word of God. We can't get it around it, people. The word of God, renew your mind with it. Okay, we'll complete this next time. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I'm blessed, so I'm sure the rest of us here are also blessed. I thank you, Lord, that you're the after speaker. I thank you that you bring to remembrance, to our remembrance, what was spoken tonight. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you rise up mightily on the inside of us. And Lord, we commit to stir you up on the inside of us as we go and wherever we are. Lord, we commit to listen to you. Lord, we turn a new page in our lives. This is the first day of the rest of our lives, a life where we listen to you and yield to you and where we walk in the power of obedience and hearing your voice. We worship you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give one to everybody there, and I want you to keep that, and I want you to, if you can do that three times a day, I don't read it yet. Please don't read it yet. If you can take that declaration, try and do it 3 times a day. If you can't, it's fine. But try in the morning and try at night at least. I guarantee you within 30 days, even quicker, that you will start to hear the voice of God in a way that you haven't heard. I guarantee you that. I have spoken that thousands of times. I've spoken that out thousands of times. I'm not lying to you. I've spoken that thousands of times. And I've heard things from God where I have stood amongst many recognized men of God, and I was the only one that heard a certain thing. And I'm pleased. I'm not saying how wonderful I am or anything. Please understand that. I want to just show you the power of the Word of God. That I've stood amongst many people, men of God, where they've prayed, and then I've said, none of you are hearing the Word of God. I believe this is what God is saying. And they would look at me funny. And you know what? It would be proven. 6 months, a year, 2 years down the line, it would be proven. And a certain thing that they embarked on, that whole thing would come to nothing. Because I heard the Word of God. Because I have been training my spirit for a long time. My spiritual father taught me how to train my spirit. And he hears accurately. He's a recognized international prophet. And I've said, Lord, I want to hear like he hears. And there's certain things we have to do. We have to train ourselves. And so I want us to stand. I guarantee you that you do this at least once a day. But if you can do it 3 times a day, for breakfast, lunchtime, supper time. First thing when you wake up, you do that. Husbands and wives, you can do that together in the morning. Just before you go to bed, let your spirit can meditate, your mind can think on this just before you fall asleep. As you lie down, you read this. At lunchtime, go somewhere and read it out loud. Don't just read this in your mind. Read it out loud so your own ears can hear it, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This requires faith. And I challenge you to read those scriptures at the bottom, because this is based on those scriptures. Okay. Let's start. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. My spirit is the candle of the Lord. God, my Father, is guiding me into all the truth through my spirit. I am a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and led by the Spirit of God. I listen to my heart as I look to my spirit inside me. The Holy Spirit gives direction to my spirit and illumination to my mind. He leads me in the way I should go in all the affairs of life. He leads me by an inward witness. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened. Wisdom is in my inward parts. His love is perfected in me. I have an unction from the Holy One. I am becoming spirit conscious. I listen to the voice of my spirit and obey what my spirit tells me. I let my spirit dominate me, for I walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I examine my leading in the light of God's word. I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge Him, and He directs my paths. I walk in the light of God's word. I educate and train and develop my human spirit. The word of God does not depart out of my mouth, because I meditate therein day and night. Therefore, I make my way prosperous, and I have good success in life. I am a doer of the word and put God's word first. My spirit man is in the ascendancy. Thanks be unto God, who always causes me to triumph in Christ, in the name of Jesus. You do that. It'll change your life. Amen. You'll never be the same.